We are now going to read from the Bible text that Michael is going to be preaching on. So we can open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. So Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. And it's titled in the ESV Bibles, which is the Bible we follow at our church, The Parable of the Sower. Mark 4, 1 to 20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it, since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulations or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. So before we dive into our passage, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, as we have just sung, these are indeed ancient but living words. Father, they are words that by your Spirit bring life and change people. And as we are here this morning, would you soften our hearts to what we hear? Would you make us attentive to the word, that your Son would be held so very high among us, and that your Spirit would cause us to have great joy in the gospel? We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2018, I was rushed to hospital with a suspected stroke. I couldn't remember what day it was. I couldn't count backwards from 20. And while being rushed to ED, I was in a great mood because I thought we were going to the movies. However, after many tests, it showed up that I contracted something called viral encephalitis. And to cut a very long story short, I pulled through okay because of the incredibly quick thinking of a training doctor who took a stab in the dark at what he thought was going on with me. And he took a stab at my spinal fluid, but it saved my life. But like with any brain injury, there was some serious recovery that needed to take place. And lucky me, I had all these doctors doing these painful tests on me for many days to come. They did blood tests and threatened to do another lumbar puncture if I didn't stop with all the dad jokes. And as you can imagine, it worked pretty well. Overall, being a viral department's pincushion wasn't a lot of fun. However, the one thing that I do remember being a bit of fun was the flashcards. See, every day I'd have a doctor come in and he would show me three pictures of problems that I had to solve. And he would respond with things like, yep, that's great, that's good, or, oh mate, do you want to try that again? See, he wasn't so much interested in my description of what I saw right in front of me, but he was using the cards to help me understand something deeper. He was helping me to see how my brain was processing things. See, each picture had a problem that I had to work out, and how I responded was showing me what was going on deep within the processing part of my brain. I'm telling you this story because parables have a similar function. They're a story on one level, a picture of something that we're all familiar with. But how they get us to reflect on the message that's being said actually helps us understand something much deeper going on in our hearts. But before we really dive deep into the parable that we have set before us this morning, we need to understand something about the context in which it was given. And thankfully, Mark helps us with this. So if you have your Bibles, look with me at chapter 4, verses 1. We read, again he began to teach beside the sea. Now, it's interesting that Mark has pointed out where this sermon took place, because if we read back in Mark's account at the other times Jesus was beside the sea, we observe that it was the place where he called his first disciples who immediately left everything to follow him. And then we read in chapter 2 that Jesus freely taught the people there. In other words, they weren't there to debate him. Then in chapter 3, we have this incredible scene where Jesus is healing all these people and casting out demons. And so many people had come out to see them that they have an escape plan just in case Jesus was to be trampled. And word was getting out. So it seems that Mark wants us to know here in chapter 4 that the crowd that had gathered there had come from all over the place for all sorts of reasons, because Jesus was someone special to come and see. And this is interesting to note, because what has Mark told us about the religious experts of the day? Well, he's told us that they were actually Jesus's most vocal opposition. They didn't want him there at all. And this would have been so confusing for the masses. Because in one sense, Jesus had been teaching them about the kingdom of God, and many of them had seen with their own eyes the wonderful miracles that he had done. But in another sense, they also heard how their religious leaders, their pastors, how they were questioning everything that Jesus had done up to this point. Publicly pushing back on him with things like his teaching on the Sabbath, his healing methods, who he ate with, and even at one point they said that he was possessed with something sinister. So it's important that we pick up what Mark is telling us here. He wants us to know the kind of crowd that had gathered around Jesus to hear him preach. They were there to see what all the commotion was about. Some had seen him do wonders, others had heard about these miracles from secondhand accounts, and some may have come to see what he could physically do for them. Others may have wanted to hear him preach. But they were also probably a little bit confused because Jesus' ministry just wasn't welcome in their towns, as their pastors and teachers were warning that Jesus wasn't good for them, but a menace to their society. That's the first thing I want you to take note of. The second thing that I want you to notice is how Jesus teaches the people. Look with me at verse 2. Mark says, he was teaching them many things in parables. Now, going back to what I was saying before about the flashcards, parables work on a couple of different levels. In one sense, they're a story, an observation about something in this world with a clear message. Yet, in another sense, the story hits on something much deeper. They're actually lessons about the spiritual world. That's why they're often framed as a simile. Now, just so there's no confusion among us and we can have a little English lesson here, a simile is a comparison word. That's why we see words as or like being used. And I think it needs to be said, though parables can be somewhat confusing, and there are many examples of them in the Gospels, this doesn't mean that they have a plethora of spiritual meanings. No, Jesus used something in this world which his audience could imagine or see to teach them a deeper spiritual truth about God and his realm, which they couldn't see. So that's what we're going to do now. We are together going to look at this parable in the first sense, the natural and literal way in which these masses would have taken Jesus' parable. And then we're going to look at how Jesus gives the spiritual sense to a very specific group of people. And we will indeed see something incredible about the spiritual realm. So let's dive into this together. Read with me verses 3-8. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold," meaning pay attention to what you're about to hear because it is extremely important. "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, it's interesting what Jesus is doing here. He has a huge crowd before him who have traveled out to see this famous preacher, and he starts to talk to them about farming methods. Now, obviously he hasn't gathered all these people together to give them agricultural advice, but I do want you to notice that he is doing a couple of things here with the way that he is teaching them. First, he's testing their spiritual responsiveness. Like I said before, some had come to hear him, but probably most had come just to see him do miracles. And he knew that. And though that was part of his ministry, that's not actually why he came to us. No, Jesus clearly tells us why he came to us in Mark 1, and that was to preach. In other words, he was like the sower that had come out to sow the seed. So here you have Jesus, an outcast from his own town, an outcast with the religious establishment of the day, and now he starts to sift these people who had come out to see him. Why? So he could actually see who wants to hear what he has to say. Now, this is incredibly important for us to pick up. Did you notice how Jesus bookends this whole parable? He starts by saying, listen. And he ends by saying, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And that's important for us to get, because he wants to identify those who had gone out to understand more about the glorious awaited kingdom of God from those who didn't. And second, we've been told that Jesus had been preaching about the kingdom for some time now. He'd been preaching in Capernaum and around the towns of Galilee. And if you read Mark's account up to this point, you'll quickly notice how his message was met with mixed reactions. Some dropped everything to follow him. Others liked to see him do miracles, while others absolutely hated him. You might say it's like a sower had gone out, the seed was the same every time, yet the soils were doing very different things. All this to say, Jesus is using this style of preaching to do a couple of things. In one sense, it's to sift those who had gone out to see him for all the wrong purposes. And in another sense, to explain to the masses why everyone isn't reacting the same way to the same seed that's been sowed. Because it's not the seed or the sower that's the problem. It's the soil. And I want to take a little detour here with you all before we dive into the spiritual truth of this parable, which Jesus is actually going to explain for us. But for now, I want to follow the order of our passage, because Mark shows us something absolutely fascinating here. See, after Jesus had preached, it seems that only a few from the large crowds came to see what he was actually talking about. We see this in verse 10. We read, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. See, I don't think the people that came seeking Jesus were totally satisfied with how they understood him. Maybe on one level they were, but instead of listening and then just walking away and trying to figure out what they thought Jesus meant, they got enough of the parable to understand that they needed to be very careful with how they were hearing him. So they sought him out so they could understand what he was saying. Now, I do think there is a good lesson for us here. Because throughout the history of the church, there's been many interpretations of the parables of Jesus. And some have just been plain wrong. I heard a great example of this the other day where Jesus was the Good Samaritan. The man who was beaten up was the sinner. The priest was the sacrificial system that had passed us by. The inn was the church. The innkeeper happened to be Paul. And the two coins, well, they're the two sacraments, of course. And though this might sound interesting, the problem we run into with this kind of interpretation is that Jesus never intended for his parables to be understood that way. And we actually do damage to what he's driving at when we read things into his teaching. So we might ask here, how do we keep ourselves from falling into that error? From reading something into the parable that's not meant to be there? Well, I heard this the other day, and I think this is pretty good. Three things. Read the parable from the original hearer's perspective. Look for the main point, and then let the truth change you. For those note takers out there, read the parable from the original hearer's perspective. Look for the main point and let the truth change you. You might be here and thinking, well, that's pretty basic. But think about the parable that we have set before us this morning? What would have stuck out to them? What kind of emotions would the birds of the air came and devoured, the seed conjure up? We might even ask ourselves, how devastating are weeds to the original hearers, because they destroy crops, meaning there is no fruit. Then we want to look for the main point, and thank goodness most parables are usually driving us towards one main truth, even when different objects in the story mean different things, like we're going to see in just a moment with our parable. And finally, let the truth change you. Like I have said, these are not just stories. They are meant to teach us a spiritual truth about Jesus. So that's what we see here. Those around him with the 12 came and asked him about the parables because they want Jesus to explain what he was talking about. But we might ask here, why didn't everyone go seeking Jesus to understand what he was teaching about? Well, like we have observed in our passage, many went out to see Jesus preach. But many may have been there for other reasons. Maybe it was to see him do miracles, maybe because they thought he was a prophet of some kind. But others had come out to see Jesus because they truly believed that he might be the long-awaited king of God's kingdom that was promised by the prophets long ago. So for all of those who believed God and what he said he would do, all these parables were helping them to understand who Jesus is and what he had come to do. So not to fully understand him, so because they didn't fully understand him, they sought him out to find out more about the kingdom that he is ushering in. And listen to how Jesus reacts to them. Read with me verse 11. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." See what he's saying here? To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Now this is amazing if you think about it. He isn't saying that because they understood the deep theological truths of what he was saying straight off the bat that this secret belonged to them. No, they were given it because they came seeking Jesus, thus displaying the evidence of God's grace working in their lives. And I want to back up what I just said there. Because God's grace is all over that sentence that Jesus has just said to them. Notice what he says. To you it has been given. That word, given. We might ask, given by who? Well, it's been given by God. Why did some fishermen see who Jesus was and leave everything and follow him? Because of the grace of God. Why did a tax collector leave everything behind and follow Jesus? Because of the grace of God. Why did only some come seeking Jesus for understanding? Because of the grace of God. And Jesus knew that it was those that came seeking him that had been given ears to hear. But what about those who were rejecting Christ, who refused to see him as God's Messiah? Well, we're told here in our passage that the parables actually have a very different purpose. Jesus goes on in the rest of verse 11 to say, "For those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." In other words, for those who were rejecting Christ, who were refusing to see him as the Messiah, the parables have a different purpose. For them, God was concealing the truth because they were denying the obvious right in front of them. And I do want to say a little bit more on this. See, in spite of miracle after miracle, teaching after teaching, the crowds and the religious leaders were still not believing in Jesus as the Christ. Thus he says, for those outside, everything is in parables. Then he quotes from Isaiah, where right after Isaiah's commission, God explains to him that he would preach, but the people would not listen to him. Why? Because their hearts were dull, their ears were shut, and their eyes were closed. So Jesus is saying those on the outside, they see the miracles, but they refuse to see what the miracles, the signs say about me. They hear what I say to them about being the Lord of the Sabbath, but they refuse to see what it means about me. So when I tell them these parables, the truth is lost on them. Therefore, for Jesus, those who refused to understand him, well, it was evidence of God's judgment. Church, even though they had the person of Jesus and the words of the Lord right in front of them, they were rebelling against him. They'd heard him preach, but they refused to hear. They saw him do miracles, but they refused to see. And the fact that they couldn't understand these parables was a demonstration of God's judgment upon their utter rebellion. And before we go on, something needs a little bit more needs to be said about this, because you may be thinking, hey, I kind of don't always get what the parables are saying. What does that say about me? Well, look at what Jesus says to those after he had said that the secret of the kingdom belongs to them. He says in verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Meaning it's not the intellectual understanding of the parable that saves. No, it's the grace of God that works on the heart so that we might accept the truth of the gospel that saves. Which Jesus goes on to explain in verses 14 through to 20, which we will read now. He says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. See, this parable isn't so much about the sower. It's more about the soil. This is what we've noticed before, that the sower and the seed don't change. The sower is obviously Jesus, and the seed, as we see here, is the word of God. The good news about the kingdom, the gospel, that doesn't change in our parable. But what about the soil? Well, it's obviously the heart of those that hear the message. And this is so important for us to understand in context. Because as Jesus has traveled, as he's taught, the reaction to his good news has been so very different. But that's not because the message has changed. That's because the soil that it lands on, the hearts that hear it, are different. And for Jesus' disciples, this would have helped them understand why so many people were reacting so differently. We see that the first soil is the hard heart. Those who hear the gospel but instantly reject it, thus Satan snatches it away. The second soil is the superficial heart. Those that hear the gospel but they haven't really received it. And they might seem like disciples at first, but because they are hated for Jesus' sake, they can't endure and they fall away. I've been so encouraged to read about a pastor just this week in Finland that despite a real threat of going to prison, he is standing strong. He's on trial for hate speech because he wrote about the biblical view of marriage in a pamphlet 9 years ago. And though the media are ridiculing him, though his name has been publicly dragged through mud, and though he's being threatened with real jail time and humongous fines, he hasn't fallen away. But he's continuing to preach to all people in his newfound public platform that people, no matter what they've done, can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way. That's one example. However, brothers and sisters, persecution and tribulation come in all shapes and sizes and from many, many different directions. The warning is that the superficial heart will cause people to fall away immediately as these things come. And they will come. The third soil we see is the divided heart. This is the person that hears the gospel, but because of things like wealth and status, relationships, the things of the world being so consuming, there is no room left in their lives for the work of the gospel to flourish. This is such a word of warning to us here this morning. I say us because we live in a world that is grabbing for our affections all the time. I mean, just think about how the world preaches at us to become avid disciples of consumerism. Our phones that we carry around with us religiously and read every day instruct us on how to spend, spend, spend. They point to our dire need for bigger cars, houses, better clothes. And if we're not careful, we're warned that these things will choke our heart. Finally, Jesus turns our attention to the fruitful heart. These are the people that hear the word and understand who Jesus is. And they bear fruit in their lives because of their faith in him. And though we're told that that fruit does vary from person to person, I don't want to get too bogged down in that. His point is that the word will produce fruit in the life of the one who has accepted Jesus by faith. Now, for these people who had sought Jesus, who were asking him about what these parables meant, there's one obvious application that may have come to mind. People will reject the gospel. They've seen that in Jesus' ministry already, but it would have given them a greater understanding that as they went out and proclaimed the gospel, they would have resistance, not because the message is faulty, but because the soil is in varying degrees of receptiveness. So don't be encouraged. Keep sowing that seed. And for us here this morning, I think we should really take heed of that. Parents, there's maybe your heart is broken because your kids have grown up in the church, they've sat under the word, they've gone to youth group, but now they are rebelling against everything that they grew up with and were taught. Don't stop sowing that seed. That was my story. I wanted nothing to do with God when I got to my late teens after growing up in church. I rebelled hard, yet my parents didn't stop praying, didn't stop sowing the seed for years. And even though I kicked against the goad, so to speak, they kept sowing. Maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your friends that you went to church with, maybe it's a spouse, I don't know, but brother, sister, keep sowing. Yes, there is a spiritual battle happening in this world, and yes, there are worries about wealth and to keep people from submitting to Christ, but keep sowing. Keep praying to the Lord of the harvest that he would soften that soil. Finally, like a doctor with a flashcard, let this parable be held up to all of us this morning. I want to reflect on what kind of heart that you'd say the seed has landed on. Because as it has been mentioned previously, the truth of the parable is meant to do something to us. It's meant to change our lives. Would you say that you've heard the gospel, but it makes you angry, that it gets you annoyed that Jesus must save you because you are a cosmic rebel? Well, by the mercy of God, friend, I invite you to humbly receive the message of the gospel, to come to Jesus, leave behind the sin of this world, leave behind the pleasures and pursuits, and come to Jesus. Salvation is really being held out in the message of the gospel. He is the only way. Don't hear, but perceive no longer. Maybe you're here and you'd say that everything in your life points to a superficial confession. You'd say that, yeah, I once muttered a prayer or decided to follow Jesus years ago, but because of persecution, maybe from family, friends, co-workers, community, you'd say that you have fallen away and you just happen to be here this morning, or listening online, or hearing this in a podcast. And friend, Jesus invites you to come back to him. He will in no way cast anyone out who humbly comes to him. Maybe you're here and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your heart is divided. You think and meditate more on your wealth and the things of this world more than anything else in your life. And that you're at the point where you would actually say, it's causing me to resist submitting to the rule of Christ. Then friend, you are not hearing this warning by any accident this morning. By God's grace, confess and turn to your merciful Father, and you will be forgiven. But if you're here this morning, and you would say that you are hearing the word, you're understanding it and seeking to apply it, then let us be encouraged to bear fruit and spread the message of the gospel to all those around us. Yes, some will reject it and hate you for telling them. Yes, your heart might be broken with some that you thought were going on for the Lord. But dear church, pray for these people. Pray for the one who hates you for bringing this good news. Pray for the one who falls away. Yet there are others whom God has softened and are waiting for that seed to be planted. They're waiting for how they can have all their sins washed away, how they can be born again, how they can be reconciled to their loving and heavenly Father for all eternity, and how they can be in his presence with that great hope and have everlasting life. Let us not let these dear souls wait any longer. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that your word is good and true, and that we have been trusted with the glorious good news of your Son. Father, there is people with various levels of receptiveness, even in this room and listening online. And Father, we ask that by your Spirit, the gospel would be unapologetically and lovingly shared with them, that they would go on to see what it is to be reconciled with you for all eternity, to know you, to be excited about the gospel, to tell everyone around them, that they would bear fruit. Father, we're aware that there are things going on in our world that it's hard to sometimes have the boldness to share, but Father, you are sovereign and you are good and you love your children in your church. Would you please give us the confidence, give us the grace, and as our brother prayed before, put us in situations, maybe at Christmas parties, where we can gracefully, lovingly share the good news of your Son. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.